Sing and rejoice, O daughter Zion. See, I am coming to dwell among you, says the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is one of the great days of the church. It's sad that so many other people don't know about it. This is just an incredible day in the church, the presentation of Mary. You don't even know what that is. Does anybody know what the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary is about? What is the essence of our feast? What are we really celebrating? Do you know? I put you on the spot. I do this a lot because I want to know.
Was it for, you said the Virgin Mary was something that happened, she was something to do with heaven, and she was announced to heaven or something?
Not exactly, but that's what the reading is. The reading which you proclaimed there, Josh, is talking about from the prophet Zechariah, one of these prophets in that interregnum, in that intermediate time when there was no king in Israel, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, where there was all sorts of difficulties that were going on, and he was prophesying, hey, there's hope down the road. And that's what the prophecy of Zechariah was. He's speaking specifically of the Blessed Virgin Mary here, that God is going to come and dwell among you, daughter Zion. Well, who is the daughter Zion that he's speaking about? Obviously, the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's why we're having for the reading today, right? The feast day that we're celebrating today is when the Blessed Virgin Mary is presented in the temple. This is a time where she was presented to God as the first and only born son of her parents, but really presenting herself saying, I'm going to take a vow of chastity. I'm going to take a vow of chastity, and I'm totally going to dedicate myself to God, that my every being, my every fiber of who I am, even though everything in my culture says, if you're going to be a woman, then what you need to do is you need to have lots and lots of children. And that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? A beautiful grace that God gives sometimes. And that's what the Jews said. The only way in which you live on, many Jews believed, was in your children. And so it was thought of a great curse. Look through the great pattern of the Old Testament, the barren women all throughout there who were miraculously touched by God, and they thought that their world was over because they had no children. They were thought to be accursed. Here she's saying, which is contrary to the mentality of the Jewish people, I'm going to consecrate my virginity to God forever. I'm just going to be His. That's it. From this very young age, as a little girl far younger than you, Katrina, she was turning to God and saying, I'm totally yours. Let me consecrate that to God in the temple. Today we celebrate not just that, but the world, the whole church celebrates today the Missa pro Orantibus. It's in a Latin phrase, but we're the Latin church. What does it mean? It's the mass for the orantibus, those who pray. So this is the day in which we celebrate consecrated life. Those who are entering into cloisters, and we turn in this moment to turn to God, and we pray for those people who are praying for us. That's what this mass is all about. This mass is offered specially for our sisters who are up there in Roswell, down there in Roswell, the Poor Clares. Cloistered life, who are constantly praying for us in the world, though they never leave that convent, they know exactly what's going on in our world and are pleading to God at every moment throughout the day that He would have mercy upon us and give His people grace. Also praying for our sisters who are up there in Santa Fe, our Carmelite sisters who are praying, who are struggling to live out the harsh vocation which is theirs, to hold back the powers of the devil, of the evil one, from attacking us. The real great thing that happened in the time right after Vatican II was not the fact that there was all sorts of confusion in the church. There was a change. The real great tragedy was that there was a loss of sense of the vocation of consecrated life, specifically among religious women. We need look no further than to my right, to your left, to see the sadness that's there. If it were not so, if there was still that sense of what that vocation was, this school would still be running today. We'd have not just awesome Sister Anne, but we'd have many others just like her who were there staffing, teaching, helping our young ones. But there's somehow a sense of the loss of that sacred, especially among our women, not seeing this beauty of this vocation of being a bride of Christ just after the Virgin Mary. What is her? What God is saying in this Mass today is He's saying, as the church looks at Mary and says, you are the bridal chamber. Your very womb is the bridal chamber where God comes to dwell. You are His spouse, and He's coming to take abode within you. Christ the Lord. And it is because you are perfect and because you are chosen from all ages and because you always say yes to God, you're the perfect vessel. And so that's the movement which we have. Not all of us are called to live out consecrated life in that way. Some of us are here in this room. But to say yes to God in little ways and to let our own souls actually be the bridal chamber of God where our Lord can enter in. Today we pray for those who pray. Because their lives are very hard because what we think about, oh, they're just on reserve. They're being held back there and living out a nice holy life off by themselves. Yeah, they are to some extent. But they're not on the back burner. That's the front lines of the spiritual life. It's becoming so interior. What they do is they hold back the forces of the evil one. The reason why we have the errors of Russia that Our Lady of Fatima came and said, pray that the errors of Russia would not be propagated within the world. A great reason why we're experiencing such confusion with regards to sexuality today, why we're having such a breakup in the family, why vice is sometimes heralded within our culture as though it were a virtue, why there's even confusion among the rank of the clergy today, why we have these great problems within our church, really is because the orantibus, those who are praying, are fewer. And because of that failure, there's less to hold back the work of the devil. And so we have to ardently pray for them. Today, we pray this Mass in a special way for vocations to the religious life. Vocations especially to that consecrated cloistered life. That life within the church would be reinvigorated. And that especially women, but men too. Especially women, even from our own congregation here in Little Santa Rosa, will begin to see the beauty of that own consecrated life, to see that they really can give themselves to God, that God really is calling them, that there is something special for them with Him only. That's a beautiful vocation. And today, for that we pray. We hold Our Lady up as the fairest honor of our race. Jesus isn't saying, it's better, my mom really isn't that important, neither are my brothers. In the gospel, he's saying, what's most important about my mom is that she does my will. That she says yes to me. That from the very first moment, she just wills what my father wills. No matter what cost that seems to her in which she doesn't understand. When we celebrate the presentation today, we ask our Lord for us, we become a little bit more like her in our yes. And for our world, that there will be more and more men and women in cloistered, consecrated life, be able to say yes. So that the errors of the world and of Russia will not infect the church, but that the mission of the church may go forward on the back of those who pray in cloister. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.